Amen. That's why we're here this morning. Praise his name. Amen. Amen. Praise his name this morning. I am so thankful. I am so thankful to be here this morning. And, you know, just to be able to stand up here on Resurrection Sunday and just thank him for what he did for me one day and what he's done for you. And, you know, whenever Tyler preached this morning, we preached about the power of the resurrection. And I had no idea what he was going to preach about. But down through the week, I've been working on my sermon. Julie, you can put it up there if you want to, if it's in there. I don't know if it is. I think it is. But you'll see that my sermon is about the power of the cross. And it is so amazing how God works. Amen? It's so amazing how he can take one situation to verify another situation, to confirm another situation. And it just blesses my heart. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And whenever you get there, if you're able, if you can, please stand in honor of God's word this morning. And the Bible tells us this: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand up here behind the desk one more time, Lord, a sacred desk. And Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, as I say all the time, get me out of the way, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you know that your words would go out the way that you'd want them, that the preaching would be done here this evening, the anointing be upon me, Lord. I pray hearts would be open, Lord. I pray for that this morning, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we'd be receptive to the word. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated and thank you. Thank you. Besides the resurrection, Jesus dying on the cross was probably the most powerful event I could ever think of in human history whenever he died upon that cross. You know, it was two things when he died upon that cross. And the scripture told us here, it was both a divider and it was a unifier. Amen. When he died on a cross, when Paul penned these words, when he penned this in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he was traveling throughout the Roman Empire, trying to explain to people, whose views of someone dying on the cross was a sign of shame, it was a sign of failure, it was a sign of defeat. Can I tell you this morning, we're not defeated because he wasn't defeated. But Paul told them that Jesus died on the cross, rising the third day, and by that act, he brought salvation and forgiveness. It was available to everyone. I don't know where you're at here this morning, but when he died on that cross, when he shed his blood, whenever he rose the third day, he didn't just do it for me. He didn't just do it for Greg or anybody. He did it for anybody that is willing to come and give their life to him. He did it so you and I can have salvation and could have eternal life. Amen? Amen? The people in Paul's day thought what he was preaching was crazy. They thought what he preached. Remember in Acts chapter 28 or 26, when he preached the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, and he preaches to Festus. Remember what he said? Festus said, he said this, and he said, thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made thee mad. I'm going to tell you what, you take Jesus out into the world, Jeremy, and they're going to think you're mad sometimes. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think that you have no idea what you're talking about. But can I tell you with the surety this morning, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he saved my soul many years ago, and there's no doubt in my mind. And can I tell you, if there's doubt in your mind this morning, it wasn't Jesus that put it there this morning. It wasn't him. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you this morning, as an old preacher used to say, it is a no-so salvation. You know where you stand with Jesus this morning. These people back in the day had witnessed crucifixion after crucifixion. Roman historians that I've read about this week tell us that Romans crucified over 2 million people in their time frame while they were ruled over the nations at that time. With 6,000 being crucified at one time in Sicily. In the wars of Spartacus, I don't know if you knew that or not. They said they crucified so many people, John, at one time, they run out of wood. Now think about that for a little bit. These people back then knew what crucifixion was about. The cross was a horrible death. It was humiliating. It was brutal. And Paul knew the message of the cross. He knew it. He said the cross would be something that would be silliness to some people. The Greek word for foolish here is this. It's the same word we get moronic from. Whenever he was saying that, he was saying these people will think that it was moronic for him to speak about Jesus, to speak about him dying on a cross, to speak about him rising the third day. But to those who believe it, drawn to me and you, you know what? It is the way of salvation. And brothers and sisters, this cross is powerful. His cross is powerful. We're talking about the very foundations of Christianity. Jesus, the Messiah of God, was crucified for the sins of this world, and he rose on the third day. Paul also told the Corinthian church this, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks it is foolishness. There is absolutely, absolutely no forgiveness of sin from the preaching of the cross. None. The brother, if he hadn't died on the cross, I heard Tyler say it this morning. He freely gave up his life. If he didn't say, Father, into thy hands I commend my soul, he would have lived. He could have kept on living. But he freely died. Let that sink in for a little bit. He freely died for you and me. The Bible says a man rarely would die for someone he liked, but he wouldn't die for someone that he didn't like, right? You wouldn't do that. Jesus died for those who hung him on that cross, just as well as you and I here this morning. Hebrews 9:22 tells us this, that the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross, there could have been no forgiveness of sin. There couldn't have been. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin in accordance with his riches of God's grace. The cross is powerful. Colossians 2:14 and 15. I love this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. Do you know you had a death warrant against you? Did you know that? Everybody born of a woman, everybody born in here this morning, when you were born, you had a death warrant against you. It was placed upon your head. And it said against us, which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Amen. Jesus took the death warrant and nailed it to the cross. You know why they hung above Jesus' head that he was king of the Jews? Because that's what they did whenever they hung you on a cross. They hung above you what your death issue, what your death warrant was. That's what they did. And they hung that above Jesus' head. Brothers, whenever Jesus died on that cross and they hung that above his head, I'm telling you, he said he nailed it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them openly, triumphing over them all. When Jesus rose from the dead, you know who he didn't go and tell Pontius Pilate. He didn't go and tell Caesar. He went to the low ones in life, the ones who didn't have any chance. He went to them and he told them that, praise God, that you know what? I am risen from the grave. You know what's sad? Thank you, Lord. You know the last three advocates for Jesus after he stood trial and was nailed on the cross? You know who they were? Wasn't Peter. Wasn't John. Wasn't James. Wasn't Mary, wasn't all the three advocates. So you know who one of them was? It was Pontius Pilate's wife. Remember her, what she said? One of them was her. She said, I've suffered many things of this man in a dream. They do not have nothing to do with this just man. Yeah, that was one of them. And she had nothing to do with Jesus down through the years. Another one was a thief on the cross. Remember, he was there, and first off, he started reviling Jesus. And then after a while, you know what he did? He said, this man's a just man. And then the last one was that soldier at the bottom of the cross. Remember after it all happened? He said, surely this was a righteous man. Where was all the rest of them at? I'm here to tell you this morning. I don't know how you feel about yourself this morning, but I'm telling you, we serve a God, and I know that I serve a Jesus that loves you no matter how low that you think you are. No matter how bad that you think you are. He went and he lost and he died for those, the lowly ones in this world. He died for them. He said this, in the time of Paul's writing, when a man was found guilty of a serious crime, of capital offense, like murder or treason or robbery or crimes against the government, they would take that offense that he had done, and then you know what? They would write it on a certificate, and they would hang it on his cross above his head. It was, like I said, it was his death warrant. And that's the reason that Pilate nailed that name above Jesus' name. Listen, the Romans had put it on that cross, whatever that individual had done. And they crucified people openly. They crucified them in public. They wanted people to see men and women dying in agony and pain and blood and anguish upon the cross. And every citizen would walk by and they would say, "I'll never do that. No, sir. I'll never do that. Because I don't want to end up there." So that's what they did in Rome a long time ago. That's how they did it. Now, according to Colossians 2:14, on that first Good Friday morning many years ago, something else was nailed to the cross, and it was our death warrants. It was now, listen, if you've accepted Jesus here this morning, it's been paid in full, right? They said one time that even whenever someone would pay the debt of them, it said this morning, I believe it was said, they would take and ride on there paid in full. And you know what they did with that thing? Those people would take that thing and stick it in their pockets. And as they went around the Roman government, if anybody ever questioned them, they could pull it out and they'd say, paid in full. Praise his name this morning. When he died upon that cross, I'm telling you, the debt for sin was paid in full. Paid in full. When Jesus took it, the cross is where justice and mercy met. Amen? That's where it is. God's holiness always demanded a payment for sin. Always did. And his love provided his son to be the perfect sacrifice for that. Jesus took those charges upon himself and he destroyed them is what he did. Praise him. And he nailed them to that cross. Amen. Can you say amen this morning? His cross did it for you. Through the cross, Jesus accomplished something that no human could do. No human being could do it. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise his name. Yes, there is power of salvation from the work of the cross that Jesus did on the work of the cross. Amen. The handwriting of ordinances, the laws, the law couldn't do it. You know that? The law couldn't do it. If the law could have done it, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He wouldn't have had to die. All the sacrificing of the animals couldn't do it, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not possible. All the good works that you and I do couldn't do it. He said, the scripture says that no matter what we do as far as good works go, it's not going to bring salvation for us. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What the law and the sacrificing of animals could not do, and all the good works could not do, that says the cross did. Yes, there is power in the cross. There is power in it. And I'm not talking about that little emblem so much that's hanging around your neck. I'm talking about his cross. I'm talking about Jesus' cross. There is power in that for you and me. There's power of salvation in it. Romans 1:16 says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and then also to the Greeks. Through the cross, believers experience redemption, they experience forgiveness, and they experience transformation. You know that here this morning, don't you? Whenever you're saved, whenever you become a new creature in Christ, behold, it says all things become new. Now, you may look different on the outside. You may look the same on the outside, but I'm going to tell you what, on the inside, there will be a change. There will be a change. I've said this many times, and maybe some of you are here tonight, here this morning have heard it lots of times. When I got saved, Tana, I got on that bus that night, and that bus was junk. That bus was junk, but I thought it was a Greyhound bus is what I thought. And when I got on it that night, and everything from that place till I got home, everything looked brand new. I had a new perspective on everything. I went to school the next day. And I can tell you, they knew there was a change in me. They knew it. They could see it. But praise God, behold, all things became new. And I'm here to tell you, the work of the cross in my life, I cannot deny it. Even to this day in my life, He has done that. Through the cross, listen, imagine every one of you here, if you had an enormous debt, a debt that you could not pay, and all at once you got a letter in the mail that said, paid in full. Paid in full. That's what He did. Amen. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Every one of us had a debt we could not pay. We couldn't do it. But praise His name. He went on that cross and He died and He shed His blood. And when He did, it said paid in full. Man alive, isn't that awesome? The cross was and is the way of salvation. It's the way that we did this morning. Brother said the cross, when He died upon that cross, it is the way of salvation for you and me. Only God could make that happen. Do you know that? Only God could make it. Jesus was destined to die on the cross, and He was offered for the forgiveness of sin before the foundations of the world were even laid. What you see out here right now, even before all this was ever formed, even before the stars in the heaven were made, it says that Jesus was laid down for us for the forgiveness of sin. 1 Peter 1 and 18 and 20 says this. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily, listen to this, was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifested in those last times for you and me. It was laid out there that He was going to be the sacrifice for you and me. Isn't that awesome? In the events of the crucifixion, by the way, were prophesied in the old Bible 1,000 years before it happened. 400 to 500 years before crucifixion was ever invented, the psalmist wrote this. For dogs have compressed me, the assemblies of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet, I may tell all my bones, they took and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vestures. 1,000 years before it happened. Now think about that. God foreordained all this. What an amazing scripture. What amazing scripture was that? That David had prophesied over in the book of Psalms. Isn't that something to think about? The power of the cross will challenge us. Do you know that? The power to live lives of humility, sacrificial love, and faith. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Amen? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Paul emphasized the power of the cross. Listen to me, I have nothing to glory here this morning. I have nothing to stand up here and brag about myself, only through the power of the cross that Jesus Christ did on that work. Any boasting, any confidence, anything that I have is because the work that Jesus did upon the cross. The power of the cross is so important to us. Jesus said, anyone desiring to follow Him must do what? You must pick up your cross daily and follow Him. Amen? You got to pick up your cross daily and follow Him. Isn't that amazing scripture, by the way? Listen to me what it's saying. And I'm going to read it over in Luke 9:23. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You know, we always seen this with Jesus' crucifixion. The Romans always made the condemned man carry part of the cross up the hill to wherever they were going to be crucified. They always made him. That's just the way they did it. Jesus was saying to his followers the same thing. You must not only give up your own agendas, but you must also put to death those agendas daily. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I want to tell you something. That's pretty strong. Whenever Jesus said that, that's very, very strong. Because all of us have a lot of agendas, do we not? We have a lot of them. The power of the cross is so transformative, though, that listen, whenever you let the power of the cross work in your life, it can take those agendas and it can make them for the work that Jesus wants you to do in them. What does the cross itself symbolize? I'm just about done here, so bear with me. You know the horizontal piece of the cross represents the distance God will remove our sins from us? Do you know that? It's from east to west. Does east and west ever meet? No. It ever meet? That's whenever he says this in Psalms 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he's removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that awesome? The distance from east to west, it's immeasurable. We can't fathom it. The two will never meet. Our sins and God's remembrance will never meet. If he says he does not remember those sins against us, he doesn't remember them. Now, I guarantee you I can go out here in the world and there's people who remember mine. And I'm going to tell you what, they'll remember yours. They'll remember what you was like. But praise God, God doesn't have that kind of a memory like that. He doesn't. Our sins will never to be remembered again. That's what he tells us. The vertical piece, and I thought this was in it, represents our life. Because of the cross, we can rise. We can rise above our carnal nature. That's what we can do. Our walk with the Lord should represent a climb. That's what it should represent. We do not have to stay down in the miry clay. He put your feet out of the miry clay. He set you on a solid foundation. But because of the cross, the Bible says in Romans 8, 31 and 39, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him so freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that judges. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the power of the cross. He's able to keep that, which he's had, until that day. Amen? He's able to. He's able to keep that until that day. That is the power. That's the power of the cross. And is still doing it. It did it then and it's still doing it today. The early church could have chosen any emblem. You know that? They could have chosen a heart. They could have chosen an empty tomb. They could have chose bread and wine. They could have chosen. But do you know what they chose? They chose a cross. They chose it. By doing it, he transformed an instrument of Roman suffering into something that is for you and me. That's why they chose the cross. That's why they did it. That's why they did it. The message of the cross is divinely human. It's about humanity. It's about for us. It transformed all those that believe. Now you may be sitting back here thinking, well, how can anyone that's died rise again? That's the power of God. That's the power. That's the power that God, that the resurrection power, as Taylor spoke about. You know what the cross does? It confronts our pride. It confronts our. It offers us forgiveness. It does all those things. Can I tell you here this morning? What a beautiful day to be saved. what a beautiful day to come to know Jesus today. You know, wouldn't it be a beautiful day? Here it is, Easter. Here it is, Easter. Wouldn't it, what a testimony. If you're here this morning and you do not know him as your Savior, and to come and kneel at this altar this morning and say, Lord, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. And you know what he'll do? If the Spirit's knocking upon your heart and he's condemning you, you know what he'll do? He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. And guess what you can do after that? He'll walk with you. The Spirit of God will go with you. You'll not be left alone. You know, you got brothers and sisters in Christ in here, but you know it goes way beyond that. We got the Holy Spirit to walk with each and every one of us daily. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? As they get a song this morning, Belinda, if you don't care, come get a song this morning. You know something? I don't think something that's testified out in the world enough of, or witnessed out in the world enough of, is about the power of the cross. I believe sometimes we need to witness about the power of the cross and how what it represents and what it did. Praise his name this morning. All right.